All right, so we are nearing the end of the book of Ruth. Not a long book, four chapters. One that is an historical book, so it gives to us the record of history. We are given the names of a number of individuals and certainly the key players, the key characters in this record are given to us. And we see something of their own character and their doings in this account. And we also see a testimony to the Lord's provision, as we will see again tonight. We, in the first message that we preached from the book of Ruth, we actually went to the end of chapter 4 and noted the genealogy that is given to us there, and commented that that certainly is one of the main reasons why this book is in our Bibles, because it does shed some light on these ancestors of King David. And of course, David being a man after God's own heart, the one with whom the Lord entered into covenant and promised that he would have a son sit upon his throne forever. And it's even that Son who is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the New Testament opens with a genealogy. And Ruth is mentioned in that genealogy. It's the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, and the son of Ruth. Right? So very, very interesting. And I would enjoy preaching it all over again. I'm not sure you would enjoy listening to it, but it is really a very special book, and one that we can look at the main characters in it and really rejoice in the testimony of God's working in their hearts. But we are near the end, and we will come to an end. My plan is that this will be our last message from the book. In chapter 3, we saw the seeking, really at the advice and counsel of Naomi, that Ruth would seek a kinsman redeemer to act on behalf of her deceased husband, Mahlon, who of course was Naomi's son. And Boaz is identified as a near kinsman, and in fact he was. And so Ruth approached him when he was at the threshing floor. You know the story. And Boaz, of course, was very pleased, really overwhelmed almost, you could say, in his response that Ruth would be interested in asking him to participate in that way. And but he did note that there was a nearer kinsman, so someone who just in the family tree was closer, and therefore rightly was given the first opportunity to act as the kinsman redeemer. And so chapter 4 gives us the record of the obtaining of a kinsman redeemer. And we saw Boaz taking the matter to the gate of the city or the village of Bethlehem and presenting the opportunity for redemption to that nearer kinsman, who initially, as he first was approached with the opportunity to purchase the land that fell to Elimelech, he initially consented, but then Boaz reminded him that there would be obligation to take Ruth and endeavor, with the help of the Lord, to raise up an heir on that land. And so that nearer kinsman was disinclined to proceed for fear that he would jeopardize his own inheritance. And we aren't given a lot of details as to what his thoughts were, but nonetheless, that opened the way for Boaz to do as he promised to to Ruth that he would do. When she was there at the threshing floor, he said, verse 13 of chapter 3, "Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he, the nearer kinsman, will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of the kinsman to thee. As the Lord lives, lie down until the morning. And so he had made promise to her that if that nearer kinsman would not, then he indeed would. And so the part of chapter 4 that we are focusing on then is the consummating of the redemption. And we see that in verse 13 of chapter 4. There we are told, so Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loves you, which is better to you than seven sons, has borne him. And Naomi took the child, and laid it on her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. And then you have the genealogy. So, consummating the redemption. We are told in verse 13 that Boaz does indeed marry Ruth, takes her to his wife, and they have a son. And so we are told there in that verse that the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And again, at the end of verse 15, the comment is made that Naomi's daughter-in-law has borne him. So there is that emphasis, that testimony, that she has borne this son to Boaz. And so in that, we have really the marking of what I'm sure to Ruth was a very happy occasion. She was no longer barren. She had been married to Mahlon, right? We don't know exactly for how long, but if you look back at chapter 1, notice how it is put in verse 4, and they, that is Naomi's two sons, took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. Now, we can't say exactly that Ruth was married to Mahlon for 10 years, but it seems likely that it was of that kind of time frame, right? So we're not talking just a month or two, and he dies. The indication seems to be that there was, you know, some period of years. And for all of those years, Ruth was barren. And then he dies. Right? He's gone. And even as Naomi, right, was talking to Ruth and Orpah and urging them, after they had started out with her, to go back, right? And, you know, her hope was for Ruth and Orpah that God would give them a husband and so on. Ruth says, no, she's not going to. She's going to go with Naomi. Even if it meant that she would never have a husband, she would not leave Naomi. And so, as it turns out, the Lord, in his gracious providence, not only gave her a husband, but gave her a son, right? And for a woman of that era, as for many women, even today, what a blessing, right? What a blessing from the Lord. And certainly the scripture encourages us to view children that way, as a blessing from the Lord. And here is this woman who is no longer barren. But what is very interesting is here at the end of the book, our attention is shifted off of Ruth and actually back to Naomi. So yes, we are told that Ruth bears a son and we are happy for her, but let's turn our attention to Naomi. So not only do Boaz and Ruth bear a son, but very interesting, look at the language in verse 17. The women, her neighbors, gave it, gotta love that, King James, right? Gave him a name, saying, "There is a son born to Naomi." Right? Now, obviously, they're not speaking literally, at least not biologically, physically, literally, right? But when you think about it, Ruth was married to Naomi. Here's Naomi. Naomi had a son. Ruth was married to Naomi's son. They were not able to have children. She was barren, right? Had she had a child, right, then that would have been Naomi's grandchild, right, and would have been the heir and so on. But there was no child. Hence the need for the kinsman redeemer, right, to come along and take Mahlon's wife. But even as Boaz testifies, notice verse 9 of chapter 4, Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, "You are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the land of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife," now notice what he says, "to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. You are witnesses this day." So you've got Naomi, Mahlon, her son, married to Ruth, no children, kinsman redeemer comes along and takes Ruth to raise up a son for Mahlon. So in a legal sense, though Ruth is not by blood related to Naomi, this son, this child, is Naomi's grandson, right? In a legal sense, it is Naomi's grandson. And so that's really what is being stated there in verse 17, that there is a son, meaning a grandson, born to Naomi. And if Ruth was happy woman, what do you think Naomi was? Right? And again, what a precious, precious story. Verse 16, of course, tells us that Naomi takes the child and lays it in her bosom and became a nurse to it. And she so, so much loved that child. And what a contrast, right? That picture. I mean, imagine, right? Here's Naomi taking that child and just holding him so close and caring for him as a nurse would, as a mother would, really, tending to his needs and so on. And contrast that with chapter 1, verse 20. In response to the question of the women, "Is this Naomi?" Verse 20, "She said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara." Why? Listen to her words. "For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. No husband, no sons, no grandsons, just empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me? But now Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became a nurse to it. The contrast is striking, right? The Lord's provision. One commentator says this, it was said so well that I just wrote it out in full here. As was only to be expected, Naomi took a special interest in the baby. She took it up in her arms, laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. One imagines that there would have been no difficulty in obtaining a nurse for the son of Boaz, right? Someone to care for the child. He's a wealthy man, right? So on, upstanding in the community, no problem finding help. But for Naomi, this child was special. She had expected a lonely old age when her husband and sons died. With none of those near to her left, her future had indeed looked bleak. But thanks to Ruth's devotion, everything was now different. She belonged to a family once more. She was loved and she had a recognized place. And the babe, in a sense, symbolized it all, and Naomi gave herself over to caring for him, right? And surely that is a special thing. So we have Naomi then having a son, a grandson, someone that she could love and care for. But our attention is not just directed to Ruth and her son, and to Naomi and her grandson. But our attention is rightly directed also to a son given by the Lord. Boaz and Ruth bear a son. A son is born to Naomi, verse 17 tells us. But let us spend the rest of our time thinking about a son given by the Lord. Verse 13 tells us, Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife, and when he went in to her, notice, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And so here, the Holy Spirit, through the pen of the unknown human author, reminds us that when a child is born, it is right for us to understand that that is God's doing. Right? Now, there's the biological reality of it and so on, but ultimately, if the Lord wants to close a womb, we have much record, even in the Bible, that the Lord has no problem closing wombs. Right? But by the same token, should he open a womb, again, we rightly attribute the birth of that child ultimately to God himself. Right? He is the creator. He is the source of life. And so the Lord gives Ruth conception, as is always the case. Psalm 139, verse 13, is a very interesting verse. I'm going to read it out of the New American. It says, "For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb." Right? And that's a very interesting psalm because It's talking broadly about the Lord's knowledge of us and the fact that we can't go anywhere, but that he's present and that he knows and that he can take care of us and so on. And that starts with conception, right? It's the testimony, right? That it's the Lord's doing to form that little child, even in its mother's womb. And so the scriptures here are reminding us of that, even in this account. And it is also interesting and so very, very appropriate that the testimony of the women on this occasion then is to bless the Lord. Notice verse 14. The women said unto Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has done this for you." Right? So really all what follows is a description of what the Lord has done for her. And it centers around the birth of this child, as we'll see in just a moment. But their comment is, "Blessed be the Lord." And it is very interesting. We won't take the time to go back through, but you may recall that even when Boaz came out to the field, right, he speaks a greeting to his workers, and it's, you know, "May the Lord bless you." And they respond in kind, right, a similar kind of statement. And so what is very interesting here is how much our attention is directed to the blessing of the Lord, either in the desire for it or in the praising of him for it, right? And certainly that is the case here in this statement. The Lord is blessed as the one who provided for Naomi. And so you see that in verse 14, "Blessed be the Lord, which has not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel." Okay, now let's pause for a minute. When we see that word kinsman, who do you think of? In this book, when you see that name, that word kinsman, who do you think of? Boaz, right? Yes, that's who you would think of. But interestingly, this is not a reference to Boaz. Let's keep reading. Right? So, "Blessed be the Lord, which has not left you this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he, the kinsman, shall be unto you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, which loves you, which is better to you than seven sons, has borne him," the kinsman. It's Obed. It's Obed that verse 14 is talking about. Okay, so let's read it thinking of Obed. "Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman," Obed. Right? Remember, she came back empty. No one, no husband, no sons. Now she's got a kinsman, right? Grandson, but she's got a kinsman. It's Obed. And it goes on that his name may be famous in Israel, that his name may be called out, literally, is the idea. And interestingly, this is also the blessing that was pronounced on Boaz. In verse 11, all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses," to Boaz's statement about him being a kinsman redeemer. "The Lord make the woman that is come into your house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel. And do thou, Boaz, worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem." So that's what they're saying to Boaz. And now the women are saying it of Obed, Boaz's son, Naomi's adopted grandson, essentially. So very, very interesting. And then notice how verse 15 then continues. "And he, Obed, shall be unto you a restorer of your life and a nourisher of your old age." And if you think about it, we have a couple of times in this book, we have the acknowledgement from Boaz's mouth on a couple of occasions, I think, and actually from the people as well, that Ruth, in comparison to Boaz, is identified as a young woman, right? And so, again, we aren't told how old Boaz was, but the indication seems to be that he was noticeably older. That being the case, it's entirely possible that though he undoubtedly had for the moment become a nourisher of Naomi, right? I mean, he proved that with his care for Ruth, that she's laboring in the fields. You'll leave some on purpose for her, he said to his servants. And when even when she came to the threshing floor, he says, well, hold out your shawl, right? And he scoops six measures of wheat or barley into that shawl that she can take it home to Naomi, that she wouldn't come home empty to her mother-in-law. So Boaz had already shown himself to be one who would care for Naomi, but he's going to die. And it's entirely possible that he's going to die before Naomi dies. But that's okay, because there's Obed, right? The Lord has given Obed. And so verses 14 and 15 are really a praise to the Lord for his provision for Naomi in the person of Obed. Now, obviously, that praise is a reflection on Boaz, because if Boaz had also been unwilling to perform the role of kinsman redeemer, there would be no Obed, right? So very, very interesting. Now, it's also interesting in verse 14, it's blessed be the Lord which has done this, right? Verse 13 told us that it was the Lord that gave her conception. And even as I just read verse 11, which is the blessing of the people to Boaz, notice, the Lord make the woman that is come into your house like Rachel and Leah, right? They're looking to the Lord to do this. And then in verse 12, it continues, let your house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bore to Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give you of this young woman. Right? So do you see how the attention, our attention as readers, is really being focused to the fact that this is the Lord's doing, right? And it's the Lord that has orchestrated all of this. It's the Lord that sent Elimelech and Naomi and their children out to Moab. And it's really of the Lord that when Naomi returns empty, she's not quite empty, because she's got Ruth. And there's a wonderful commendation of Ruth there in verse 15. For your daughter-in-law, which loves you, which is better to you than seven sons. That is like one of the highest kind of commendations that could be given, because what would be better than seven sons, right, in a culture like that, right? Seven sons, wow, you know. No, she's better than seven sons. And so really a remarkable commendation. And so what you have here is the testimony to the Lord's doing of all of this. And you can go even back to chapter 2, when Ruth first came to the field, right, to get some food for herself and her mother-in-law. And Boaz comes out and he sees her and he inquires, who is this woman? And his servants tell him he had already heard of her, right? And so if you look at verse 10, Ruth falls on her face and bows herself to the ground and says to him, why have I found grace in your eyes, that you should take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger, a foreigner? And Boaz answers in verse 11, He says unto her, it has fully been showed me all that you have done unto your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your nativity and art come unto a people which you know not heretofore. Now listen to this. The Lord recompense your work, and a full reward be given you of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you are come to trust. Okay, so folks, my question is, did that blessing that Boaz is wishing upon this woman from the hand of the Lord, did that come to pass? I would say so, exactly, right? So what is so interesting to me is how you can trace through the book this looking to the Lord, right? On Ruth's part, your God will be my God, right? When she says, I'm going with you, Naomi. Don't ask me to leave you. Your God is my God. And then here with this desired blessing by Boaz, with the desired blessing by the people, with the actuality that the Lord gives her conception, and this son is born. And so we've got, then, this daughter-in-law, which loves Naomi, which is better to her than seven sons, bears this child. And verse 17, the woman say, her neighbors give it a name, saying, there's a son born to Naomi. They call his name Obed. And then we're told he is the father of Jesse and the father of David. And then the writer goes back even to Perez, the son of Judah, and traces the genealogy through these 10 generations. And it closes with David. Ruth is the grandmother of David. And so the question, right? Boaz desired that the Lord would recompense her work and that a full reward would be given her of the Lord God of Israel. Was that fulfilled? She's the grandmother of David, the king, right? The king of Israel. But not only that. Revelation 22:16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you of these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. He could just as well have said, I am the root and offspring of Ruth, the bright and morning star. And in fact, that's how Matthew's gospel opens, right? Ruth is included in the genealogy. Yes, this woman received of the Lord recompense for her work, her devotion to her mother-in-law, that selfless devotion, was rewarded by the Lord, a full reward given to her. We're still talking about her, right? 3,000 years later, we're still talking about her. And if the Lord tarries, however long he tarries, the people of God will still be talking about her. And I don't know about you, but when I get to heaven, I think it would be pretty cool to go and meet this woman, right, and her husband. What a blessing they have been to so many by their faithfulness, their love for one another, their love for the Lord. One commentator says, Ruth's determination to throw in her lot with Naomi had far-reaching consequences beyond anything she could ever have guessed. In view of the fact that all Judah's kings belonged to David's dynasty, the Moabite girl had most illustrious descendants. And the prayer of Boaz that she might be richly rewarded by the Lord was spectacularly answered. I thought that was well put, right? Truly, it was. And then this closing comment. Whereas its opening, that is the opening of the book, its opening words recorded famine, migration, and death, the end of the book looks forward in hope. The list of names covering the period from the patriarchs to David reminds the reader of what happened, that what happened to Naomi and Ruth was part of the ongoing saving work of God through the centuries. Life had meaning because the Lord, who had made clear promises to Abraham, was active in each generation, revealing his character, keeping his promises, and achieving his purposes. This was the unseen factor that created an historical perspective in Israel unique in the ancient world. But Israel's history is not concerned only with the great ones in the land. Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz illustrate that true greatness reflects the character of the living God, whose steadfast love called forth a responding love in those who put their trust in Him. And folks, that is true. I mean, God had made promise to Abraham, in your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. The story of Ruth, Boaz, Naomi, Obed, David, it's all part of God being faithful to His promises, right? And God is working, sometimes openly, sometimes behind the scenes, but God is always working, and God is always faithful to His promises, and God will ensure that not one of them fails. And of course, you have then promises made even to David. And those promises fulfilled in the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet further fulfilled when He comes again in power and great glory to sit upon a throne. Right? And this is all the Lord's doing. And so, blessed be the Lord, which has not left you this day without a kinsman. By the way, when they said of Obed, he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of your old age. Here's an assignment for you. Meditate on that phrase and put the Lord Jesus Christ in there instead of Obed. Right. And think of what God has provided for us in Ruth's great, 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 however many great grandsons, the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. We are not empty, my friends. We are full by the grace of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your constant care for us. How we thank You for this record of history. How we thank You for the testimony of Your care and doings for these people, these two widow women and their bitter, bitter, hard circumstances. Yes, Your hand allowed it, but it was not to destroy them. It was to enable Your glory to be even better, even more clearly displayed unto them, and not only unto them, but unto us. And so we do bless Your name. We do thank You for your faithfulness. We thank you for your provision. We thank you for the fact that there is a genealogy that starts from Abraham and runs through David and to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for his being our Redeemer and buying us back. And he is to us, surely he is to us, a restorer of life. And he will nourish our old age, even into the infinite days of eternity. He will nourish us. And for this we give you thanks. Praise the name of the Lord. We thank you so much for the salvation that you have provided through this line. We thank you for the godly example of these two in particular, Ruth and her now husband, Boaz. Thank you, dear God. Amen.